Hi, ladies. Welcome back to another episode. Today's episode is another Instagram Live that I recorded as a podcast because why not? It's Real Estate Question and Answer Part 2. Last week was Part 1. This is Part 2. Just so I'm going to explain everything in the podcast recording, but I do want to mention that my workshop, I have a free workshop out now. You can only sign up for it until the end of this week. It's a free workshop, learning how to buy your own house with confidence. I break down the steps, exact steps. I break down some definitions for you. So go to my Instagram and there's a link in my bio right there to sign up. You get it instantly. I hope you enjoy this episode and I'll talk to you soon. Bye. Welcome to the Real Estate Queens podcast, ladies. I'm Marina Schifferman, your real estate fairy godmother. And in these episodes, we are going to talk everything buying and owning real estate, confidence, money, so many juicy topics, and all the female empowerment vibes. Let's do it. Okay, hello, everyone. This is an Instagram Live that I am also recording as a podcast just because it's a vibe and the content that I'm giving is really, really juicy. It's today we're doing part two of Real Estate Question and Answers. I have so many questions from you ladies that last week was like a half an hour of me answering all the questions, and this week probably will be a half an hour. Also, if you're joining me on the live, then you can put any real estate questions you have in the chat box and I'll get to it, but I've got plenty of questions here. I decided to do this live today outside. I'm in San Francisco and it is a gorgeous day. It is a vibe and a half, like sun, sunnies, beautiful day, warm, dog playing in the back, just like it's such a vibe. And I thought, like, you know, I teach about doing real estate like authentically to you and in your feminine, and what better way than just showing this is actually where I want to be right now. I don't want to be upstairs in my office. This is where I want to be right now. So I'm here. Okay, let's dive in to the questions. Okay. Question number one. Hi, everybody. Wave. Question number one. How realistic is investing in a fourplex or more as your first property in today's market? I don't think it's very realistic at all because you're talking about investing in your first property. I covered a lot of this last week, but when you're investing in a property, that means you're buying a property thinking about the future goals of that property, knowing that the property is going to grow in value. If you're going from renting and your very first property is a fourplex, that means you have to do a totally different math to see the return on your investment, the cap rate, what it's like being a landlord. You have to have a consultation with the landlord attorney. You have to be a landlord. It's a lot, right? Meanwhile, you're still paying rent. So you are paying rent to somebody else, but you own a four-unit building. What would make sense is if you buy that four-unit building, you live in one of the units, and you can property manage the rest of the units. That would make sense because I preach this all the time. What I believe should be your very first investment is buying yourself a place to live. If you're buying a fourplex and you're going to live there, you need to understand that buying a fourplex is a business. Being a landlord is a business. You have to dedicate it time. Before you decide to rent out your unit, you have to, first of all, have a consultation with a real estate attorney in that area to know what are the landlord-tenant rights. First off the bat, that is number one. If you don't do that and you go ahead with just finding a lease online, you're shooting yourself in the foot. You don't know what's going to come up in the future. So that's step one. Step two is figuring out what it's like to be a landlord, talking to other landlords. Maybe you want to hire a property manager, go that way. So the question is, how realistic is it investing in a fourplex as your first property? It's realistic if you live there and you have the time to property manage it. Okay. The other one, next question. What are some costs we should save up for, expect that you see most people mess up on? Perfect. Let's talk about closing costs. Okay, let's talk about closing costs. So in different states and different counties, the buyer and the seller pay different things. But I'm just going to say what it's like here in San Francisco and what the closing costs are. So there's real estate commission. Everybody's very confused on how real estate commission is paid. Real estate commission is 6% of the sales price paid by the seller. So the seller at the end of the transaction, when it's all done, the seller is the one that gets a bunch of money. The seller pays 6% to her real estate agent, who then splits it 50-50 with the buyer's real estate agent. And then they split that again with their company, with their brokerage. So essentially, the buyer gets a real estate agent for free when they're a buyer. The seller is the one that pays real estate commission. Okay, so go ahead and engage an amazing realtor early on in the game. That's going to save you a lot of time. So we have real estate commission. You have escrow and title fees. Escrow is the time period from when your contract gets accepted from the seller to when the house becomes yours. It's that time period. It's not instant. There's a time period. It's also a company that handles that time period, holds the funds, collects all the documents. You sign documents in escrow. They record the deed. In some parts of the country, actually an attorney's office handles this time period. But there's escrow fees. There's a fee for this. And then there's transfer tax to transfer title. Then there are any prorated HOA fees. If you're in a homeowners association, you will have to cut the rest of for the year. And there's property taxes. As a buyer, don't forget you have to have homeowners insurance, many different kinds of homeowners insurance to protect your ownership in the property. You have to buy title insurance. So I would say, when I'm coaching a buyer in San Francisco, their closing costs are about 2% of the sales price. But those are the closing costs. Okay, awesome. Next one, what are some common mistakes you see first-time investors make? Now, for the whole purpose of this, I'm going to pool real estate buyers and real estate investors in the same thing, because like I said, and I always say, buying real estate is the same as investing in real estate, even if you don't think it is. Because when you buy real estate, it grows in value whether you like it or not the longer you own it, and you are investing if you're just putting money somewhere in it, and the money works for you and it grows. So the question again, what are some common mistakes you see first-time investors make? First-time investors don't know the process. They think the first step to buying something is looking online, looking on Zillow, maybe going to some open houses, but that literally is the fifth step. You need to reflect. If you are a first-time investor and you're a woman, I'm speaking to women here, you need to take time and reflect on what kind of woman you want to be, what kind of life you want to have, what kind of living situation you want to have in the future, what your life is going to be like in the future. You need to be reflecting on this always, constantly, not just right now. After you do that, then you need to reflect on what kind of property you want right now. Is it going to be a place for you to live in? Is it going to be a place for you to live in and rent out a room? Is it going to be a place for you just to rent it out? You need to reflect on that. And then you need to write down everything you want in a property, circle 5 things, and those are your must-have things. So after you do some self-reflection, then it's step 2. You have to take the time to find the realtor that's right for you. This is a super common first-time buyer mistake because they don't understand how real estate commission is paid. Every buyer is scared that they're going to have to pay a real estate agent, so they don't want to get one. They don't really understand what real estate agents do, so they're very, very hesitant. They think, I can do this. I can just go to some open houses. I can get pre-approved. I don't need a real estate agent. They take so much commission. But honestly, that's not true. A real estate agent represents you in your best interest, negotiates you for you on your behalf, teaches you and guides you about that specific market, takes you to success if you take the time to find a badass real estate agent that's right for you, that's local in that market. getting one before you think you're quote unquote ready, before you get quote pre-approved, get one when you've decided that you want to buy. And there are tips and tricks to finding a real estate agent that's right for you, but we'll talk about that later. Then you're going to find a lender that's right for you. You're not every lender is going to be right for you and you're in your situation. Some lenders are going to be more creative than other lenders, more sensitive to your situation, work with you more. Like, there's a difference between a bank like a Wells Fargo that are in a box that can only see in their box. There's a broker that's like the middleman that shops around for loans for you. And then there's like a hybrid of the two, the middleman that shops around for best loans for you, but they can actually fund the loan in-house. So you're going to speak to who you bank with. You're going to get recommendations from your real estate agent. You're going to speak to people and you're going to get pre-qualified. So the difference between pre-qualified and pre-approved is pre-qualified, you are literally just having conversations with people in order to pick the one that you want to work with. Getting pre-approved is when you already know who you want to work with, you submitting all of your documents to them, they're verifying your documents, they're running your credit report, they're doing all of that stuff, and then giving you a pre-approval letter because they're essentially going to be your partner in this purchase with you if they're loaning you money. So that's the difference. So pre-approval, you're just feeling out who you want to work with. Pre-qualification, you are pick the person you want to go with, you're ready to go. All those three steps happen, then the property search happens, okay? So I hope I answered that one. So some common first-time buyer mistakes: not getting a real estate agent soon enough, not taking the time to find a real estate agent that's right for them, not getting soon enough in the game, not taking the time to find a lender that's right for them, not getting it in the game. Open houses should not be something that you are even looking at. Maybe just to get some inspiration, motivation, but that's not really, as a real estate agent, I don't go on Zillow to look for properties for you, okay? Okay. You can probably hear my dog in the background. Are there any types of insurance required recommendations to rent out your property? Of course. First of all, here's a little tip. You have to require that your renters get renter's insurance. You can even get renter's insurance. You can even get a home warranty plan that protects your appliances for up to a year, and you can add that to the rent. And then you have to tell your home insurance company, whoever you're going with, whoever you have home insurance with, that you're renting it out. Absolutely, you need to cover yourself, definitely. How do you find what everyone in the area is paying for rent? You don't. You can look at what people are offering places for rent. So Craigslist or Zillow, and that's just what people are offering for rent, but that's kind of a ballpark. But you can't really know what people are paying for rent unless you call up a property manager that is local in your area that manages a lot of buildings in your area. And you call them and you say, hey, I want to rent out my place. Can you come over and give me a quote? Because I want to use you. Maybe you use them, maybe you don't, but they'll come over and they'll give you a quote. Same with any leasing agent. There's an agent that specializes in helping owners lease out their place. They do all of the legwork for you with posting it, pictures, showings, background checks, verifying tenants, writing the leases. They do all that for you and they take a cut. Even if you're going to use them or not, you can still have them over and they can give you what they think in value. So that's how you know. You have to do a little due diligence. Okay, what is a list of commonly calculated numbers that should be crunched before buying an investment property? Okay, girl, that is a very loaded question, because if you're just going to buy a property and you're not going to do any work, remodeling, anything, you're just going to rent it out, then those are different numbers. What you're going to get on rent. What you can get on rent is a cap rate. What you can get on rent each year is what the property can cap out at. You must calculate what the property can generate in rent every year. And then you have to deduct your expenses, your holding costs, what it's going to cost you to hold the property with your mortgage, property taxes, and you have to calculate about 10% a year for repairs, because as a landlord, you have to fix things right away. You cannot wait. Otherwise, your tenant has rights. You have to make the place livable. If you're going to do some repairs and work in construction, you know, if you're going to buy a place to fix it, flip it, then that's a whole other thing. I mean, this is a really loaded question and I can't really answer it that fast. So just send me a DM and we can hop on a call. What's a recommendation for finding good deals on property, whether it be for a home or an investment property? So I'm going to assume that a good deal means that it's going to appreciate in value, that the home is not going to lose value. A lot of people think a good deal is getting it for 20, 50% under market value. That's not going to happen unless your neighbor who you're super close with dies and he wills you the property. But a good deal is a house that you can stand behind, that you know is going to appreciate in value, and it's going to be good to hold that property. So that's how you know. You have to look at location. What's happening in the area? What companies are moving there? Is the area booming? Is it populated? Do you live in that area and do you really like it? Do you have faith that that area is going to be amazing? Do you have faith in the market or do you not have faith in the market? Are you looking at an area that you think is going to grow in value? So it's all about what you think the area is going to do. Houses can be changed. Houses can be totally remodeled. It can be, you know, we can tear it down and build anew. It's not about the house. It's about the neighborhood. Is there a wow factor? Can you add a wow factor? What do I mean by wow factor? Actually, I was looking at a property with a client yesterday, and this client is an investor, and he was looking to see if it was a good deal. And the number one thing that we talk about is there a wow factor, or can you make a wow factor that when buyers come in, there's that one thing that they're like, wow, that blows them away. Sometimes it's a killer view. Sometimes it's a killer lush backyard. Sometimes it's like a custom-made fire pit. It has to be that wow factor. Sometimes it's like a lavish, beautiful master suite with master bath, like a, what is it called? A steam shower, large soak. There's got to be a wow factor. Okay, so that's what you have to consider. Do you believe in the area? Do you believe in the neighborhood? And is there and can you make a wow factor? Okay. All right, just checking to see if there's any more questions. How much should you save to buy a house? This is a very interesting question. A lot of people think a realtor or a real estate coach, which I am both, is an accountant, financial advisor, financial coach, an attorney, your CPA. We are not those things. I cannot tell you how much you need to save to buy a house. That is the job of your financial coach, financial mentor, financial advisor. That's why you have one. That is not my job to look at your finances and to look at your whole big picture, your credit report, your debt to income, what your goals are and determine what kind of house you can afford. So I'm sorry, I cannot answer that question. No real estate agent in good faith can answer that question for you because we are not a one-stop shop. You need to have a kick-ass, badass team behind you when you're ready to put your money into the real estate market. I would suggest, first of all, if you need help looking at your finances and figuring out how much you can afford, get yourself a money coach. And then get pre-approved. Talk to people, get pre-approved, pre-qualified. Once you have a comfortable money situation, comfortable emergency fund, comfortable income, comfortable savings, once you're comfortable in your situation, then you come to me and get educated on how to buy real estate correctly. And then you come to a realtor, me or somebody else, to buy real estate. Okay, I hope that answers your question. Is it true first-time home buyers can get loans to bypass paying a down payment? Yes. Yes, there are first-time home buyer loan programs out there if you qualify, if you apply. There's also certain type of loans that you can put down like 3%. And there's also personal investors that can help you. If you want 3%, 5%, 10%, 20% down payment and you need help with that, you approach someone that you know has that, family or friends, and you ask them if they want to go in on a real estate opportunity with you. Also, there's a lot of tax benefits for first-time home buyers buying their primary residence. You need to have a badass CPA or accountant to talk you through that. There's a lot of tax benefits buying your first house, but you have to structure it the right way. You have to put it in your name. So that's what I mean by having a kick-ass team. But first, just get educated. I'll teach you all that. Would it be hard to get pre-approved for a house loan being in this kind of career where we do not have pay stubs and such? You mean if you're an entrepreneur. Is it hard to get a loan if you're an entrepreneur? No, but you have to show more of a history of generating income than a W-2 employee. So you just have to have a history of, I think, like 5 years. But it's a little bit more difficult because you are in charge of getting all of your documents, your accountant and everything. You're in charge of that. You have to be super organized. You have to have income, good income for the last 5 years and the savings and reserves and all that. But it's not that much more challenging. Again, this is where your super local, amazing real mortgage lender comes in to help craft your mortgage with you, to be creative with you, tell you what you need to prepare you for buying a house. Because all of these questions are already too late if you want to buy a house. These questions need to be answered and you need to get educated and speak to people before you're ready to buy a house. Okay. How do I buy my first home? Can I get it with no money down? Pretty sure I answered that. What do you think about new development? Oh, great, great question. I get a lot of people are buying new development right now. And what that means, let's break it down. What that means is a developer buys a piece of land and he builds brand new houses. And then buyers can come in and buy the house directly from the developer and custom make what's inside. That is new development, a new development community. And I think they're amazing. I think they're great. I think they're great. I think they will appreciate and value really well as well, because a lot of new developments are happening in areas where there is a lot of space, where areas where the neighborhood and community and area is growing, and then developers and people want new construction. People want something that's brand new. They want to custom make it. They want to go in. The developer team, they have a real estate agent there. They have a designer there. They have the design team there. They want a one-stop shop. I think it's a great option for people, but there are definitely some things that you have to know. Actually, on my blog, if you go on my blog, there's an article that I wrote. I interviewed five ladies on what they wish they knew before they bought their house. And two of the ladies there bought new construction like this, new development. And the tips they give are juicy. One tip that not a lot of people know is when you're buying in a development, they only have a certain amount of lenders that they will work with. So even if you're pre-approved with somebody because you were searching before, they might not accept that lender. Okay. Tip number two for new development is have your own real estate agent, have your own representation, because the real estate agent there is representing the developer, is representing the developer's best interest. They're trying to get the highest possible price, trying to close that deal quick. They're not going to find things that you should be watching out for. And the developer is paying your real estate agent. The seller pays real estate agent. So have your own real estate agent looking out for you. Second one is I would perhaps hire my own designer as well, because there's a lot of things that you don't know, things that aren't going to look good together. So I would probably hire my own designer as well. So those are some things to watch out for new development. That's all the questions that I have now. Hello, everybody. I'm just going to say hi, hi, hi. So good to see you all. So that's all the questions that I have today. As always, send me a DM if you have any real estate questions. My evergreen course is out now, Learning to Buy Your First Home with Confidence and SaaS and understanding how to buy your first home and not relying on anybody. I have that evergreen course that's out now. The link is in my bio on Instagram. It's like super amazing. Don't you wish that there was somebody out there to teach women how to buy and own real estate correctly so they don't have to rely on their husbands or like go through this blindfolded or not know what to do and not buy real estate and miss the opportunity to earn hundreds of thousands of dollars by not doing anything? I wish there was a course like that. Oh, wait, I did it. So if you want the Evergreen course, it's 9 videos. They're super great, downloadable PDFs, journal prompts, and everything. But February next month, I'm launching my signature group program, which is you get 11 recorded videos and 2 live group calls. And those group calls are everything. They're super vibey. They're super awesome. It's like this live times a million with a bunch of ladies that I get to answer all of their questions. So that's it for me, ladies. Mwah. Bye-bye.